martyr here. All right. This is what the author of this Martyr's Minute wrote about this ninth persecution, as it's called, under the Roman government. In AD 273 arose the ninth persecution of the Christians under the Emperor Aurelian. But it was not as great as the former, because death suddenly overtook him as he proposed to himself to begin it. Under him were killed and many others, concerning whom no special accounts are extant. Notwithstanding, Emperor Aurelian could not himself sign the above-mentioned decrees against the Christians. The persecution nevertheless proceeded in some places so that here and there some laid down their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ, of whom we shall mention only a few, whom we have selected as true martyrs. Now, let me just say, regarding this Emperor Aurelian, as he was planning on signing this decree to start persecuting the Christians, as he did it, God intervened and his hand became paralyzed and he was not able to sign it, and then he was assassinated, you know, shortly thereafter. So God definitely intervened and stepped in on this. I just wanted to mention that, okay? Now, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Maybe it was Mamas, I don't know. Mamas is what it looks like. M-A-M-A-S, Mamas. All right, so Mamas, a shepherd, thrust through with a three-pronged spear for the testimony of Jesus Christ at Caesarea in Cappadocia about AD 274. My, it amazes me how we could just read this and we know nothing about this man, and just his life just snuffed out. He was just martyred for Jesus Christ, and it's just written in a book here for us to remember. But he was a person just like you or me. Amen. That believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world and his own personal Savior, just like you and me. And he died for that. Mamas, a shepherd who pastured his sheep upon the mountains and in the wildernesses of Cappadocia, lived very poorly, without a hut, dwelling under the blue heavens and subsisting on the milk and cheese of his flock. As Basilius testifies, Nazianzenus adds that the hinds, also suffered themselves to be milked by him daily, and that he was thus fed by them. Basilius says that from the course of the heavenly bodies he learned to know the wonderful works of God, his creator, and thus his eternal power and wisdom. However, the accounts written concerning him state that he had the word of God with him in the desert, and that he read in it daily. It is quite probable, writes Melanus, that this Mamas, in order to escape the persecution in the time of Decius and Valerian, who was before Aurelius, went into the wilderness and remained there till the time of Aurelian, whose proconsul of Cappadocia, Alexander, caused him to be brought out of the wilderness and to appear before him at Caesarea, the capital of Cappadocia. The proconsul called him a sorcerer or conjurer because the wild animals of the wilderness so tamely submitted to him. By the way, that is a common accusation that was given to Christians, especially as you step into the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church was running it, that they were witches, they were sorcerers, common accusation thrown against them. Mamas answered, "I am a servant of Christ and know nothing about sorcery, but would rather live among the wild animals than among you, for they feel the power of their Creator in and through me. But you will not know God." I cannot get... He's telling this to the man that basically has his life in his hands. He's the governor, okay? This would be like Pontius Pilate. He's in the same type of position as Pontius Pilate was over Jesus Christ, okay? All right, so I cannot sufficiently wonder that you, who have attained to gray hairs, are still in such gross darkness of ignorance as to forsake the true and living God and give divine honor to deaf and dumb idols. That's bold right there. When he was requested to say at least with his lips that he would sacrifice to the gods so as to escape punishment, Mamas replied, "I shall never, either with my lips or with my heart, deny the true God and King Jesus Christ. So far am I from seeking to escape suffering for the name of Christ, that I, on the contrary, consider it the highest honor, the greatest gain, and the utmost benefit which you can confer upon me." Man, think about that. I'm willing to die for Jesus. I won't in any way, shape, or form deny him with my lips, with my heart, with my actions, nothing. Now, how does that speak to us today? Let me just put some application to this to today. We better not bow to the sodomite agenda in our workplaces. Amen. We better not bow to the sodomite agenda in our workplaces. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying we need to be mean or cruel to people who are sodomites. I'm not at all saying that. We be kind to them. We can be friendly to them, just like we would any other sinner that we want to reach with the gospel. But in our kindness and our love towards them, we stand for truth. and we don't bow to that. I just read this past week about a general. He was a general or a colonel here at Kirtland. And I may be mixing up two stories here, so forgive me if I do. But he wouldn't sign for a lesbian who is getting a master sergeant or whatever is her retirement. And he wouldn't, they usually will sign all sorts of things, just papers that come through for them, certificates and things like that. He signed every one of them but one. And the one he wouldn't sign for this lady was recognizing that, you know, it was a certificate of marriage or something between her and her lesbian partner. And he said, I won't sign that. So before he even told her anything, he went to his superior, which was a general, and asked him to sign. He said, for religious reasons, I can't sign this. I'm not going to. And the general signed it. This person complained, made a complaint about him. The Air Force at first said, no, we can't have anything to do with this. And they basically reprimanded him. He went and fought through it. And finally, they apologized to him for doing that. And in fact, it was a greater honor for the general to sign it than for the colonel. But because he wouldn't bow to her wishes, to the sodomite agenda, he was punished, but he stood his ground. I don't know anything else about him other than that he stood his ground. And he said, no, you're not going to bully me with that. And we need to be willing to stand our ground even if it means we lose our job. They were willing to lose their life. Do we not trust God? This is when faith gets real. I'm telling you, you'll be in the situation. You say, what do I do? You better figure it out right now. Because I promise you the situation will come. I've been in those situations where it's at work and it's like, no, I'm not. Can't do that. I've had them ask me to lie before. I said, I won't lie for you. Well, we're not asking. As soon as I said, we're not asking you to lie. I said, if they ask me, I'm not going to lie. Because they can't stand there and tell you to lie. They wanted us to lie to the media if the media got a hold of us when we were on base killing the prairie dogs. And we didn't even kill them. It was the most worthless thing. It was so ineffective. They should have given us 22s. We could have had fun. I mean, I'm telling you, we could have had a lot of fun. Anyway. All right, little rats. Anyway, if you think they're cute, see one up close. They're not. They're nasty. What's that? They are. Oh, they absolutely. They're filthy. Anyway. All right, so I just want to say, will we stand for the Lord? They were willing to. Will we stand in our generation? It's not costing us our life. It will get to that, I promise you. Just look at history. Look at what we're reading through right here. It will get to that if we don't stand right now. We have to stop backing down to an antichrist agenda. It may get to that anyway. I mean, it's going to. We know that. But it doesn't have to in our lifetime. And I don't want everyone getting all doomsday. Some people, you can't stand against the New World Order and all this stuff. Well, how do we know it's coming right now? We don't know. We don't know when Christ is coming back. How about we just stand for righteousness? It was pretty wicked at the time of the founding of our nation. How about we just stand for righteousness and let God do what God's going to do and let Him bless this nation if we will be a righteous nation? Because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's just us stand for righteousness and do what we can and stop caving in, stop giving in to every whim of everybody that doesn't like Christianity. And start speaking forthrightly on it in love. Now, I promise, as you speak in love, they'll misrepresent you. They'll say you're hateful and mean. Just be ready for that. Just accept it. That is what it's going to be. You're not going to convince everyone that I'm doing this in love. It doesn't matter. Just you know your own intentions. You know your own heart. You know it's not in hate. You're just standing for the truth. It's in love because you love God and you want to stand for His word. So we have to be willing to do that. Okay. When he was requested to say at least with his lips, he would sacrifice. He said, I'm never going to do it. He said, so far am I from seeking to escape suffering for the name of Christ that I, on the contrary, consider it the highest honor, the greatest gain, and the utmost benefit which you can confer upon me. Wow, it's a high honor to die for my Lord. Man, would we consider it a high honor to lose our job for our Lord? Grab your Bibles with me real quick. Go to James. Book of James. This man gets pulled out of the wilderness where he's there tending to his flock. They tell him, hey, you need to sacrifice to these false idols or you're going to die. And he says, no, I count it the highest honor, the greatest good that I could do to die for my Savior. He's rejoicing over this. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Would we count it joy to lose our job for our Savior? Would we count it joy to be mocked by others for the stands that we take, the beliefs that we take? We say, oh, I don't watch that. I won't go there. I don't do dancing. Would we count it all joy? Like, what's wrong with you? I just love Jesus. What's wrong with you? Who do you love? Sometimes just flip it on them. And you have to follow the Lord's leading in that, but sometimes just throw it on them. I love Jesus. That's why I don't do it. Who do you love that you do that? Upon this confession, the proconsul had him placed on the rack, cruelly scourged, tormented with pincers, burnt on his sides with lamps and torches, and tortured in various other ways. But seeing that in all these and other torments he remained steadfast, he finally had him thrust through with a three-pronged spear. And thus Mammas became a faithful martyr for his Savior under Emperor Aurelian at Caesarea in Cappadocia. He wouldn't bend, he wouldn't bow. And that needs to be where we stand. Amen.